It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we speak with co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Representative John Nygren, about what we can expect from the upcoming legislative season.
First, you may recall a viral video going around showing an earnest Canadian astronaut singing David Bowie's classic Space Oddity from inside the International Space Station. The video was seen by millions and even has the blessing of David Bowie himself.
This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know who's...
Joining us now from our Milwaukee studio on Earth is author and space balladeer Chris Hadfield. His latest book is a collection of photographs called You Are Here, Around the World in 92 Minutes, photographs from the International Space Station. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you to the to you both. I'm an earnest Canadian, apparently. I appreciate that. Earnest. I like it.
All Canadians are earnest, right? I don't know. I don't know that many of them. Well, on the International Space Station, you orbit the Earth every 92 minutes, 16 times a day. So looking out the window at Earth, how did it change your perspective of Earth, seeing the planet rushing back with a different view so many times?
Yeah, it's such a busy place up on the space station. We're running a couple hundred experiments and ships coming and going. But every chance you get, Veronica, you pull yourself over to the window to see the world. And you're always rewarded. You're going so fast. You cross the U.S. from California to New York in 9 minutes. And so you see everything, everybody, every day. And the colors of it and the textures of it, it's just at first you look for the familiar stuff, of course, you know, the places you've been, and you want to point out to someone else, you know, hey, look, that's where I went to school, or, you know, that's where my mom lives or something. But after a while, you start to see the whole planet. And the little bits of it that you've walked around on just fade into sort of their correct perspective, and you see the whole world. And the book is my best effort I took like 45,000 pictures, and this is my best effort to choose a couple hundred that really show the world for what it is.
And the photos, they're incredible. You really got into the photography after a while. You learned how to get the right shots. And just to get it at one or two of them while you're with us now, the Delta of the Nile from space, what does it look like?
Yeah, the world's so patient with you as a photographer. It says, okay, you missed it this time, but wait till we come around the world again. I'll show it to you again. And I'd read about the search for the source of the Nile and building the pyramids, and I'd pictured bringing those huge blocks of stone down the Nile and onto the barges and all that. And in one glance from the spaceship, you can see the entire length of the Nile. And the picture that I chose for the book is just at dusk. It shows all the people that live along the Nile lit up like a snake, and then the big triangular delta at Cairo and Alexandria. But if you just look around the corner of the Med there, there's Israel. You can see Jerusalem and Tel Aviv all in one glance of the eye. So much human history, most of human history, right there in just a quick, careless look out the window.
And there were also, this was something unexpected completely, at least for me, some sort of psychedelic neon pink and neon yellow waters near the Ukraine. What was that?
In a lot of places, we use settling ponds, maybe to get salt out of the water so we can put it on the roads in the wintertime or for various reasons. And bacteria, depending on how salty the water is, different bacteria live in them. And some, like with flamingos, they like water where the bacteria are that pink that matches them. There's a whole pink lake in Africa that's exactly the same shade as the flamingos. And that collection of ponds there, right where Crimea joins the mainland, it's bizarre. It's like you gave a very fastidious six-year-old some bright magic markers and told them to carefully color within the lines. And you have these brilliant colors that they're sort of like super bright pastels, but that just shouldn't be there. And they make you laugh when you spot them going, how on earth can that be there? What is that? And it's modern art unconsciously sitting there waiting for you to notice.
For sheer beauty, did you have a favorite spot on Earth as you passed it 16 times a day?
I think, yes, I do. If it were up to me, the entire book would be pictures of the Bahamas and the outback of Australia. I think I'd fill a whole book with those. They are a hugely rich resource of just straight eye-popping beauty. And I think You know, if aliens are visiting the Earth and they're taking little holiday pictures, I'm sure their albums are full of pictures of the Bahamas and the outback, because it's part of the most photogenic part of the world. But the beauty of the folks, self-included, that live on the space station is it gives you time to notice the rest of the world and to see the transient beauty, where you catch it in the glint of the sun or you notice something for the first time and manage to not just keep it to yourself but get a picture of it so you can share it with everybody else.
Well, getting to your viral video that we heard coming in that moved so many people, you singing Space Oddity on the space station, what was it like singing that particularly poignant Bowie song while you were actually in space?
I played a lot of music in space. I wrote a whole suite of music on the space station that I recently performed with the Windsor Symphony. We did four big shows, and I wrote a bunch of other stuff and performed, you know, stuff for Christmas and stuff for Danny Boy on St. Patrick's Day. But there was a lot of web-wide interest for me to do a cover of Space Oddity. And I was against the idea. I mean, who covers Bowie? It's just kind of a bizarre thing. And the song's depressing, too. So, but I got my son to rewrite the words. And I think it was sort of a tribute to the creative genius of Bowie himself that when I sang the words up there, they sort of soaked up somehow a feeling of place. It sounded, my voice sounded different than I thought it was going to. It sounded right to sing that song on, even though it's been 45 years since he wrote it. And a lot of people agreed. The final version of it with rebroadcast has been seen hundreds of millions of times all around the world. A weird crossover between science fiction and fantasy with the actual reality of what we're doing now.
Now, for those of us who will never be in space, which is just about everybody, and I've tried to imagine it, I can't. I feel like my brain just wouldn't be able to hold that much of the universe. What is it like being in space and being able to see the horizon of the universe, of creation?
It's magnificent. I was kind of afraid I wouldn't like it. You know, it's like I prepared for it for a quarter century, getting ready to go, and it was. I was really hoping that I would like it when I got there, and luckily, my body was unanimous that it was better than I dreamed it would be. And I think it's partially because you're doing something really hard and you're doing it well because you're so well prepared. It's like a complicated exam where you know all the answers, and you have that great surge of confidence in yourself that you can get all this right. But also, you're weightless, which is, you would love it. It is magic. you can fly. You can touch the wall and just, you're like Superwoman. You can just soar across the room. And you know, on top of all that, every time you go by the window, it's another part of the world just pouring by underneath you, unquestioningly gorgeous, just pouring by silently, waiting for you to just notice it. So that combination is spectacular, and I'm really, really delighted that I had a chance to fly in space three times.
Now, this week saw some huge news for the space-watching world, and that was this little tiny spacecraft, Philae, landing on a comet, a 300-million-year-old comet. What did you take away when you saw that happen? What went through your mind?
Yeah, it's probably a 4.5-billion-year-old comet, or even older than that. So the Rosetta spaceship, which is like the mothership, has been in space for over a decade already. We launched that back in March of 2004, you know, a long time ago. And it has been working its way through the solar system, sort of sneaking from planet to planet, slowly swinging around in this really complicated path so that it could get lined up with this comet that is falling towards the sun. And right now they're sort of halfway between Mars and Jupiter, way out there, 300 million miles away, I think. It takes light 28 minutes to get here from there. So it's a long ways away. And yesterday, that huge mothership popped off this little thing. It's about the size of me with my knees up to my chest. And it slowly, agonizingly, slowly fell down towards a comet because it has almost no gravity. It's so little. And it hit the surface, but it didn't have any way to hold on. And so it bounced like a little slinky way up in the air, way up into space again. Took like an hour of floating around. It finally bounced, rolled to a stop. I think it's sitting on its side on the comet, but it's working. It's alive. And it's sending us as if you just fell down on a most alien place ever and were looking at it with your eyes. It's showing us that comet, and it's got a bunch of experiments on it to try and teach us the origins of our own Earth. That it's like the remnants of how the Earth was made, the little bits that were left over that were too far away to get caught in the big process of creating the Earth 4.5 billion years ago. It's like the raw materials. And so trying to figure out where oceans come from and where the Earth came from, it's a window into the past, like a time machine. And we built something as a species so audaciously that and it worked. It just delights me that we're that clever, we're that bold, we're that brave and that capable, and that now we're going to learn so much from it.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. It's really nice to talk with you.
We've been speaking with astronaut Chris Hadfield. His new book is a collection of photographs called You Are Here, Around the World in 92 Minutes, photographs from the International Space Station. And he'll be at Boswell Books in Milwaukee tonight for a ticketed event at 7 o'clock p.m., hosted by WPR's very own Kathleen Dunn.